The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Maharal Prague gave a drosha on Shabbat Shuva in the year Shin Mem Gimel, 1582, 411 years ago, in what was called then the Beis HaKnesses HaChodosh, the new Beis HaKnesses, in the city of Prague. It's printed at the end of the Hever Sefer Beragola. I would like this evening to give over some of the principles which he expounds. And this is only from one small section of the shir. It's an enormous shir. And even from this section, it's just a few points. I've spoken about this in the past, but besides, we can always hear it again. There are numerous new perspectives and aspects to go into. The Gemara in Masechta Nida, Daf Lamed Omed Beis, Dorash Reb Samloi. Reb Samloi learned. L'mavla deme b'mei imai. What is the child likened to when he's in the womb of his mother? L'pinkes shemekubel. He's like an account book that's folded over. U'munach yodav al shtei tzedov. He folds himself up. His hands, two hands, are holding his temples. Shteyatzilov al beis arkevesov. His two elbows are on his two knees. Beisakovov al beis agvesov. His legs are folded back and his heels is tucked under his bottom. Vereim shei munach lei bein birkov. And his head is down between his knees. Upiv sosum betiburei pasuach. His mouth is sealed and his navel is open. He eats from what his mother eats. And he drinks from what his mother drinks. He does not excrete, otherwise this, heaven forbid, could kill his mother. Once he is born and he enters into the air of this world, immediately is niftach hasosum, what was sealed, that was his mouth, becomes open. V'nistam haposuach, what was open, that's his navel, becomes sealed. Shil molekein eni yochel lachayis afilu shoachas. If this doesn't happen, then he would not be able to survive for even an instant. While he's in the womb, ner dolek le'ar eshoy, there's a candle, a light, which is lit over his head, with sefer u'mabit misefer lematsefer, and he's able to see from one end of the world to the other. Valtetame, and one should not wonder at this. That how is it possible for a person to be able to see from one end of the world to the other? Sharei adam yoshon yoshein kan v'reich aleim bas pamayim, because we have a comparable situation when a person sleeps here and he's able to see in his dream a place that takes something that could take place in Spain. And there are no better days of a person's life than the 9 months he spends in the womb of his mother. Umalamdi nesei kolatera kula. And he is taught the entire Torah while he's in the womb. Mikivan shebol avir ha'ilum. But once he enters into the air of this world, bo malach, an angel comes, satre al piv, slaps him on his mouth, u mashkechai kol ha'teira kula, and causes him to forget his entire Torah. Shenema lepesach chatas revetz. As it states in the Torah, lepesach chatas revetz, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu told this HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Cain. When Cain killed Hevel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that lepesach chatas revetz, at the gates there the sin waits for you, the sin crouches. He's referring to the Satan, to the Yetzer Hara. Ve'elecha tshukosei, and he's after you. His whole obsession of the Satan and the Yetzer Hara is you. But va'atotim shalboch, but you will rule over him. You can rule over him. So it states, lepesach chatas revetz, that at the gates, the Satan waits for you. At what gates? So the Gemara says, at the gates of the womb. Therefore, once he comes out of those gates into the air of the world, then the angel comes and gives him a slap, and the entire Torah is forgotten. But he does not come out of those gates until he takes an oath. As it states, Kiliti Chra Kol Berek Tishova Koloshon, states in Yeshayahu, that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall swear to me, the Almighty states. When does every knee bow to him? We see many people, many nations do not bow to the Almighty. So when is it that every knee bows to him? Ki li tichra kol berech, that to me every knee shall bend. And when is it tishova kol lashon, that every tongue will swear, will take an oath by me? Where do we see this? Kili tichra kol berech ze yemamiso. When a person dies, his knee bends to the Almighty. This is submission to the Almighty's sovereignty. And everyone dies, whether he believes in the Almighty, he submits himself to him or not. So that's what is meant, Kiliti Chrakol Berech. Every knee shall bend to me. Shishova Koloshon Zeyem Haledo. When will every tongue swear to me? That's right before birth. Shinemar, Niki Kapayim Uvar Levov, Ashel Leinosa Lashov Nafshi, Veleunishba Le Mirmo. As it states, that he whose hands are clean and his heart is pure, and he has not stated falsehood, he has not said falsehood, and he has not swore falsely, he shall come to the Almighty. When the child is born, he's forced to take a shvur, an oath. Umayhi ashvur, what is the shvur? Mashbinai say, al titzadik vel tirosho, that you shall be righteous and not a rosho, not wicked. And even if the whole world says to you that you're righteous, Now, you look at yourself as you're not so righteous, and there's always more that you can do. We once gave a shiur. Might have been a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur shiur on this point. And this oath is the conscience of the person. See, an oath is a power which forces the person to do what he undertook. This is the force and the power that's within the person to do right. And you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure, and his angels are pure, and his soul that he gives you is pure. If you will guard your soul in purity, good. But if not, then I shall take it away from you. This is the Gemara. Now, the Maral asks a question. What is Rav Samloi coming to teach us? With why is it important for us to know what is the child like in the womb of the mother? The answer is is one might think that man is a very weak creation. Human frailty, human weaknesses, like we always say. There's Girui HaYetzahara. He has to contend with the Yetzahara, with the Satan, who constantly drives him astray. Even without the Yetzirah, secondly, what he wants to do right, has good intentions, how many times does he err? He's always making mistakes. And thirdly, and he's like a ksil v'cheshuchel, he's like a fool that walks in the darkness, groping his way, full of dilemmas, not knowing what to do. And thirdly, there are many things that are beyond his control that come against him. For example, Movis, death. He has nothing to do with. And it comes and destroys him. So therefore, man, we should say, is a very, very weak, imperfect creation. But and this is a kasha. This is a strong question and contradiction. Because it states in Parshas Hazino, that's actually the reason why he brings this pasuk from Parshas Hazino, because Shabbos Shuva can fall on Shabbos on Parshas Hazino. And this is when he was giving this drosha. States Atzur Tomim Po'ole. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work is perfect. Perfect without question. And man is the most perfect of his creations. And therefore we must know that with all of the problems that man faces in this world, he was built and he was prepared and he was created to be able to capably cope with all of these problems. With the problem of the Yetzer Hara, with the problem of all of his that this world lends itself to so much error, and with the problem with forces that are beyond his control. And therefore he has, Rav Samloi is telling us, the earliest stages of creation of man, when he was still a child in the womb, a fetus in the womb of his mother, in order that we can learn from there how he was created in order to cope with this world. And he was Megala. Rav Samloi revealed to us with this Maimer, with this Braisa, with his teachings, many, many great principles and much Sisrei Torah, many hidden secrets in the Torah. This evening, let's dwell on three of these principles. The first principle is Shedeme lepinches shemunach umakupel. Says he looks like an account book. He's bent over. His legs are bent up behind him, and he sits on his heels, and he bends forward, and his hands are up. A pinchos is an account book, a sefer acheshbonos. An account book has basically one purpose, that the balabais, the boss, should know what he owes the workers, and that what the workers owe him. Or the shopkeeper should know what he owes the customers and what the customers owe him. This is the purpose of an account book. Man was created in his earliest formation to look as an account book, because he is an account book. Kolo Odom, his whole existence, is that of paying and receiving what he owes and what is owed to him. Not in business, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does he owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu owe him? Because every act of his, there is an account for. If it's a good act, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it down, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shuldig, owes him. If it's a bad act, then it's written down, and he should, he has to pay. He owes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one day, there'll be a cheshbon. There'll be a reckoning of this account. And it will be settled. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ne'amon L'shalim, Hashem says, you can trust me to pay, will be M'shalim G'mulei. He'll settle the account. Im L'tov, for good, then good. If chas for shalom, it's not for good, it'll be settled not for good. And from here we understand that this is a world which does not end with this world, but it's a world sheyesh by tikva ve'achris. It's a world that has something after it. We find this by man, but we do not find this by behemoth, by animal. An animal was not created as an account book, because an animal was created for this world. Rashi brings in Parshas Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so Vayitzor, one yud, he created animal life. With two yud, Vayitzor, it says two yuds, he created man. A yetzira, a creation for this world, and a creation for the next world. But by animal was not necessary, because he's not an account book. And so from here we learn that death is not so bad. Not the end of the road. For man, for animal it is. It's the end of the book. But not for man. There's even a greater world beyond, after death, than before death. Fact is, the Mishnah Novice tells us, Olam hazeh deim lepreizder, v'olam haba l'tchakli. Not only a greater world, but that's the world of the palace. This is merely the world of the entry chamber. So right away we learn from here that man like unfortunately many of us feel, he should not feel sorry for himself. That what happens if and when he dies? What is the worth of this entire world when one day he leaves it? Because this world is an entry chamber to a far greater world that is the palace beyond. And if a man constantly visualizes this and he remembers it, then this will be his greatest motivation and will be his greatest guidelines for a good life, where he knows that he is but an account book, a pinkos, a sefer, a cheshbon, and everything, nothing is lost, everything is counted and recounted. And this is what Rabbi Yehuda Anossi told us. He advised us in the beginning of Perek Beis of Masechet Ovish. He said, Eze hiderech yishoresh yivalo ha'odam. He advised us on the upright path for a man in this world. He said, Yistakol b'shleshet vorim ve'inato boli de'avero. Remember three things and you will not go astray. And these three things are all above you. Ayin Reya, there's an eye that sees everything you do. Be'ezen Shamas, there's an ear that hears everything you do. V'chol ma'asecho b'sefer nichtovim, and all of your acts are written in the sefer, in the book. So therefore do not think that no one sees your mitzvahs, no one sees your deeds, no one sees your efforts. They are all written. And the same thing to the contrary. Now, a second point in this principle. When we visualize that kol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtovim, that all of your deeds are written in the book, we picture some book up in heaven, and I call his bofu with a big quill, and there he's writing. Okay? Not true. It states that man is the book. Man is the Sefer HaHeshbonos. He writes it himself, and it's written in him. The Gemara brings in Masechet Chagiga Tezayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, who will testify to man, who will testify on man to all of his deeds? The Gemara brings a number of opinions. One opinion is, Abne Beisai, the stones of the walls of his house will testify to his deeds, because the question is many of his deeds are minan historim, they're concealed, so who's going to testify? Another says the malochim, ki yitzavaloch malochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people angels to walk with him, the angels will testify. Reb Zreika comes along and the Chachomim come along and they say, no, that's not true, we do not need Avnei V'Kedesh Beisei, we don't need the stones and the boards of his house to testify, and we do not need the angels to testify. Nishmose atzmai me'idloi. Zreka says his own soul will testify. And the Chachomim said, a vod of shalod me'idloi. His own body will testify. Because every act is recorded not up there, every act is recorded here. The Zekra says every act is recorded on his soul, and every act is recorded in his own body. A number of years ago this would have been very difficult to understand, but now in the age of computers it's very easy to understand. We see that
we can record even more than what takes place in a person's lifetime in a little microfilm, in a little disc. So it's very easy to understand. Reb Zeker and the Chachamim are coming along and saying the Sefer and Nichtovim, the book of accounts, is not up there. It's in man. And that's what Reb Samloy said, that the child in the womb of the mother, his initial formation is that of a book, of an account book. Because not only are accounts kept, but he is the account book. This drives home even stronger that what Reb Yehuda Anossi said, that if a person will remember that everything is heard and everything is seen and then it's recorded, he will not so quickly do things, even though people do not see him, that are wrong, because they're recorded right in him. Modern science is finding an enormous amount out of this, finding this out with their experimentation on the brain. They find that nothing is lost from the brain by prodding certain areas of the brain. They can bring back something which was said or something which was heard 30, 40, 50 years ago. And they're coming to the conclusion nothing is lost. Everything is recorded. And therefore the Gemara says, the same Gemara, what does it mean, al ta'aminu bara, al tiftecho be'olef? Do not believe in evil and do not trust the king. It says evil is the Yetzirah, the Satan. Olef, aluf, the king, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean, you should not believe in evil, you should not trust the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why shouldn't you trust him? This is what it means. The Yetzirah comes to man and says, do it. And the Almighty will wave it. He'll forgive you. Echte ve'oshiv. Do it, and then ask the Almighty for repentance, and he'll forgive you. Or he'll forget about it. Just like a boss of a dog. Sometimes we have we do things wrong, but we feel, look, the policeman, he'll leave us off. Al teima, al taminu baro, do not believe the Satan when he tells you, go astray, do something wrong, and the king will waive it. Al tiftecho be'olef, do not trust the king, the Almighty, that he's going to waive it. Because akol nichtav b'sefer, whatever you do becomes a reality in you. It's already becomes part of you. It's imprinted in your soul, in your brain, and even evori odom, in the physical man. Therefore, account will have to be given. Unless a person will do a true tshuva, but that's not where he does it to begin with, the Gemara tells us. He does an aveda to begin with the calculation, he'll do tshuva for it. This is the first principle. Second principle. Shtei yodov al shtei tzdov u'shtei atzilov al shtei akaveisov. His two hands are on his two temples, and his two elbows, he's in other words, he's leaning his head on his hands. His head is bent downward, and his hands, they're leaning by their elbows on his knees, and his feet are tucked beneath him. Now, we said the reason why he was folded up is because he was created as a Pinchas, as an account book. But why does he have his hands on his temples and his head downward? The reason for this is because this is the way a person sits when he's in deep thought. But I once gave this share many years ago. Afterwards, someone came and told me, I believe he said there was a sculpture, a famous sculpture, which was called the Thinker. And this is how he's sitting. This is how man sits when he's in deep thought. Now, why was he created this way? Man was created for one purpose, and that was to think. To think, to use his mind, and to be always in deep thought. To think about what? Not to think about everything in the world, because you can't think about everything in the world. Man cannot even exhaust his particular profession to think about everything in his profession during a lifetime, or his particular occupation. We take of the millions of different occupations. But to think and to decide and determine the difference between teva ra, good and evil. As it states in Parshas Nitzavim, which we just recently read, the end of Parshas Nitzavim, Lamed Posuk Tesek Vov, Re'e, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, see and think. Nosati lefanecha hayom, I place before you today, es hachayim. And hayom means every day, always before you, life, es hatov, and good, es hamoves, es hara, death and evil. Stay Drochim Lefonov. I place before you Hayom, that day and every day. The Gemara brings, even a minute before a person dies, there are still Shtei Drochim Lefonov, two paths in front of him. One path is Chaim, life. It refers not only to life in this world, but a everlasting life. And goodness. The other path is death and evil. Ubachata b'chayim, Torah tells us in another place. Choose the path of life. Now, this takes thinking. This takes this decision making, that we are constantly called upon to decide between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. Not once or twice in our lifetime, but every day. Not every day, but hundreds of times a day. Never ending, as long as a person is still alive. We have to decide, and it can be decided only by thinking, and only with deep thought. V'zeh kol ha'odem, and this is man's purpose in this world. And therefore, the child in its first beginnings takes the position of the thinker. Now, from here, we see two points. that this is man's occupation in this world. His task. That's point A. But point B, another chidush. We see something else. That if this is man's task in this world, then he has the capability to fulfill this task. We are bombarded daily, or weekly or monthly, with questions, decisions, difficult decisions, dilemmas. What to do? This or that or that or this? And sometimes one might think in exasperation, what's the difference what I think or what I do? Just do it. Because it's impossible to know. In the area of Bein Tov L'Ra, Chaim V'Moves, between good and evil, life and death, if this was man's task, if this was what he was created for, Atzur Tomim Po'olei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork is perfect, then this is wrong what we're saying. But he was given the ability to decide and to distinguish. Lahavdil, to make distinctions between good and evil, just as one can make distinctions between day and night. And this is why Rebbe tells us in the same Mishnah, Hevi Machashev, he says, what is the path that a person should choose for himself in this world? Hevi Machashev, he should always be thinking and calculating. What should he think about and what should he calculate? Not about pursuits of the world that he has to do to a degree, but that's not what he was created for, that could give him a means to live in order to fulfill what he was created for. But he should be mechashev hafseid mitzvah keneged tzchor. Let him always calculate the loss that a mitzvah causes him against the reward that he'll gain from the mitzvah. Uscharaver keneged hafseido, or the reward that he has from an aveiro, a transgression, keneged hafseido, against the loss that he'll have from it. What does this mean? This means, for example, someone who has a set time to learn, or he has a shir, and he decides, so he has a mitzvah in front of him. At the same time, now he has an opportunity to make some money. Or perhaps he has an opportunity to have a little relaxation. He can go and play some ball. He can watch a TV program. Or whatever it might be. So Rebbe tells us, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. He's in a dilemma. I'm supposed to be here. I have a chavrusa or I have a shir. But at the same time, I got an opportunity now to make a good few thousand rand. What should I do? It's a dilemma. You should know, many people come to ask me questions. And these are the type of questions, many of the types of questions I get all of the time. What should I do? Or, look, there's a very important program on television now. A special. CNN, or whatever it might be, about Israel, whatever it might be, or so forth. So Rebbe tells us how to resolve this question. So this is a simple formula. Be mechashev, think. Don't just do it, think. What should you think about it? Make a calculation. Calculate what the loss will be that the mitzvah causes you. you do the mitzvah, what loss will you have from it? If you go to the shir, or you go to your chavrusha, or you go to shul to daven, tefillah betzibur, you go do the mitzvah. Meanwhile, you're losing that other opportunity. You didn't see the ball game, or you didn't watch the special on TV, or you didn't make the money. Okay, that's in one column. That's hefsid mitzvah. Now, in the other columns, chora. What is the reward that you'll have for the mitzvah? The fact that you went to learn, or you went to shul, or you went to do the mitzvah, what reward will you have from it? Put that in the other column. Now look at it. Here you have a TV program, Zayin Afilo special. Here you have a few thousand rand in one column, and in the other column you have something that cannot even be translated into money. The Gemara says, Char mitzvah b'hai amaleko. The reward of one mitzvah is so great that a Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot repay you in full in this world, because this world can't encompass it. Now look at the cheshbon. Now make your decision. It's not a question anymore. Not a dilemma. If someone would offer you 1,000 rand to do this, and the other one would offer you 1,000,000,000 rand to do something else, would it be a dilemma? Would someone come and ask a question? This is what Rebbe is telling us. Another example now, the converse. A person, he says, Schar aveira keneged afseido. Schar aveira keneged afseido. There's an aveira in front of him, and he has good reason why to do it. He can get tremendous gratification from it. He can make a lot of money out of it. So this Giri Yetzer, the Yetzer says, don't be a fool. Don't pass it by. Chop it. On the other hand, Yetzer Tov tells him, no, don't do it. He's in a dilemma. So Rebbe's giving us good Yetzers. He says, you want to solve the dilemma? Dilemma. Make a cheshbon. Write down in one column, what will you get from the Aveira? What will you get? You'll get tremendous physical gratification. You'll get tremendous monetary gratification, whatever it might be. Write it down. Now, what will you get on the other hand? What will you lose from doing this Aveira? We said a man is a book of cheshbon. Everything is written down in him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays. What will HaKadosh Baruch Hu pay you for doing that Aveira? Write it down. Now look at the two figures. Is it going to be worth it? The little that you can get from this Aveira now, is it going to be worth what you will lose later? When you see the figures, it's no longer a dilemma. It's a case of short term, medium term, versus the long term. We can hop, we can grab a short term benefit. We watch the ball game, or we go to the ball game. Or let's say a person is on holiday and he's supposed to be back at work, and he says, another day on holiday, look what I'll have from it. Or is it a long term benefit of the mitzvah? To give you a simple example of how we do not make calculations. Now again, calculations, this is the underlying emphasis. Calculations is with the mind. We are obligated to think with the mind, not to think with our body, and not to think with our emotions. Too many of us make that mistake. When a person is thinking with his emotions, he does not sit with his hands on his temple. But we have to think with the mind. This is the secret that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man in this world. Now, it's my every day, Ma'asim B'chol Yom, how many times do we eat something which is very good to taste? Or we drink something which is very sweet and very good to taste. Yet we know that it's not good for our health. We know it. Are we thinking with the mind? Are we thinking with our emotions or our body? If we would write it down, if I eat this and I drink this, this is the benefit. What will be the benefit? The benefit will be at that instant, it will taste so wonderfully. We mechashev that against hefsedo. What will be the loss? The loss can be poor health. Does one know what poor health is? Is it just at a simple physical level? Never go into a hospital and we see what poor health is. Yet all of the time we eat without thinking, and we drink without thinking, and we do things without thinking because it's good, it's good, it tastes good. Or because we say, if I'll eat or drink or I'll smoke or whatever it might be, it will relax me. So it's a benefit. But meanwhile, we're destroying our health that was given to us for 120 years, the greatest physical gift a person can have in this world. Where lies the error? We don't think. We're not mechashiv. Because anyone who would make that calculation, mentally or in writing, will no longer have any dilemma. He won't have any question. We think with our bodies, and we think with our emotions. But we're not the thinker, the mechashiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man to be in order to solve his questions and his dilemmas. Many times, if we analyze a situation, it's not that we cannot solve our questions. It's we do not want to solve our questions. We do not want the solution. We want the easy, instant gratification rather than the solution. It's not that we're not capable of solving. If this is man's task in this world, then he was given this capability. The Gemara in Masechet Chagiga, Daf Hei Omer Aleph, the Gemara goes even further. Order brings a pasuk from Shlema Melech King Solomon in Keheles that he meets Hashem. We will read on Sukkos, Abor Aleinu L'Teiva, and right at the end of Keheles, after King Solomon goes through everything that he does in the book of Keheles, he finally says in conclusion, Seif Dober, what is the conclusion? Yes, called my soul. Well, Akim Yove Bamishput. Every act of a person, this is what a person must realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring to judgment. And I'll call Nalon. Nela means even what is concealed from man himself. This refers to an error, even an error, an erroneous act. Hashem will bring to judgment. Im taiv, im ra. And if it's good, or if it's bad. The Gemara says, what is this speaking about? What does it mean, even errors? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan, when Rabbi Yechanan used to come to this posuk, Kimot elahai kro bachi, bechi, he used to weep. Evet sharabe shekel eshkoges kizdeines, takone yeshlo. He says, an avid servant that his master equates this that he does in error together with this that he does with intention against him. What can he do? What kind of solution is there? So we see how deep the judgment is, how far the responsibility goes. Now the one says, what does it mean, my kol nelam, on every thing that's concealed, everything that is an error. Omar Rav ze ahere kina bifnei chaveira v'nimas bo. Mordechai gives a few examples. If a person has an insect on him, on his clothing, and he kills the insect in the presence of another person, and the other person is very squeamish and it upsets him, he will have to give a cheshbon, din and cheshbon, he will have to pay for that. Why? What did he do? He caused tsar. He caused anguish to another person. But I didn't think you would mind. I didn't think it would upset you. That's how kol nelam. That's the error. But if it's an error, so why must I pay for it? Because man was given such a mind that can foresee and comprehend and penetrate into the greatest darkness, that if he will use his mind, again, not his emotions or his body, but his mind, he will be able to forewarn this. That before you do such a thing, think perhaps that it might upset the other person. And here Rashi says, the person, from here we learn that you're not allowed to do anything that is mo'us, repugnant, in the presence of another person. Shmuel Omar Ze'arok Bifnei Chaver V'Nimas. So Shmuel says the same thing. If a person spits, what's wrong with spitting? Nothing. But if it's in the presence of another person, then he has to pay for it if he upset the other person. Then the Gemara says, but it says, Im tevim ra, which implies not only he's doing something evil, but he's doing even something good. What about good? The Gemara says, even if he's going to do a mitzvah, many must feel that if we're doing a mitzvah, it gives us license to step on everybody in our way. In order, I'm going to do a mitzvah. Not so, the Gemara says. That because if you do, you'll be held responsible. What are the examples? Anesin stoker leoni befarhesha. A man gives stoker, he gives charity to a poor man. But he gave it to him, he saw a poor man, he says, here, I have something for you. He gave it to him publicly. And he embarrassed him. Mordechai brings a case of Rabbi Yannai where he saw a person give money to an oni, to a poor person before Hesher publicly, and he said, Muto, dolei aftelei, ma'ashto. It would have been better had you not given it to him. Because now you gave it to him, but you embarrassed him. Embarrassed him publicly. So that's what it means, im tov, even Kol dover elakim yovi ba mishpot, everything Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring, al kol maiso to mishpot, to judgment, al kol ne'alam, even an error, im tev im ra, and even if you meant good by it, if you were doing good. Why is he responsible? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us brilliance. where we are capable of foreseeing such a thing if we stop to think about it. And we do not act merely responsively. We do not act spontaneously. See a poor man, oh, here's some money. Gave him without thinking. Mother brings another case. Rabbi Sheila Amri. This is a more subtle case. The Hanesin Stokelisha Besesa. It's more subtle. A poor woman needs money. So this person, he learned this Gemara. You're not supposed to give it publicly. So he calls her into a side room and he gives her the money. Gemara says he did a terrible thing. Why? Because if someone saw Reuven give money to a woman privately in secret, what is he liable to think about that woman? What's the payoff for? What is he giving her money for? Such a thing could destroy her reputation. All right, to us it's a little thing. But you can destroy a person with that. This is what the Gemara refers to as a Talmud shel shimush vele shimush kol sorche. Someone who learned, but he didn't learn enough. He learned the first half of the Gemara, but not the second half of the Gemara. And he'll be held responsible. And this Shlaim HaMelech said, Elohim Yov Elamishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ask him about this and hold him responsible. And if he'll say, but I didn't think, this is what we're speaking about. But I created you to be able to think. Before you were born yet, you were made into the thinker. So what do you mean you didn't think? This is what you were created for. And therefore, we have to carry responsibility for it. Morris says another case. A person, Erev Shabbos, he sends to his wife some meat for Shabbos, but it was not menukar, it was not trebert. In other words, it was not salted properly. The blood vessels were not taken out, or the fats were not taken out that were not allowed to eat. Now here he's an osik b'mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah. He's sending meat home for Lekovet Shabbos. But in the meantime, instead of sending it home on Thursday, he sent it home on Friday. And on Friday, his wife is so busy that, and this is something, today we don't have this because it's all taken care of by the butcher. But when people had to do this themselves, this has to be done very carefully and with concentration. And because he sends it home Erev Shabbos and she's in such a hurry, it could be that he could be machshel her. He could throw a stumbling block in front of her. Well, she's not going to do it properly. And he will have to bear the burden of that. And again he'll say, but I didn't think. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer us. This is why you were created. But I saw a beautiful piece of meat and I knew it would be wonderful for Shabbos, so I sent it home. Again, that was emotion, that was not mind, that was not Das and Seichel. And I gave you Das and Seichel. That's the only way you can get through this world. Bada brings in another place another example in Meit Kotten Dafei Omer Aleph. Bada brings a posuk from Tehillim at the end of Kapitel Nun. V'som derech ar eno b'yesha lakim. People who put signs on the roadway, they will see the salvation of Hashem. Mora says, don't say som, but say shom, from the word shuma, which means calculate, assess. those people who are constantly calculating and assessing what is the proper road to take in this world, all the time, they will see areno b'yesh alakim, they will see the great salvation of Hashem. As Mora says, brings a case of, we see how far it goes. Rabbiane havale ahu talmido. Rabbiane had a talmid. He was a good disciple. Kol yuma hava makshle. Every day at the shir, this talmid used to ask kashas. He would ask questions, and he'd ask good questions. And Rabbiane, he was a good talmid. And Rabbiane didn't have an easy time answering these questions. And this was good. This was good because it states that the Talmidim is Makim Rabbi. The disciples are the ones who make the Rebbe wise. It's like you take a knife. If a knife is never used, it becomes blunt. When does it become sharp? The more it's used, the stronger the stone is against it, the sharper it will become. One of the Memches Devorim states, one of the qualities that a person needs to be Kena, wisdom, to be Kena Teira, Machim as Rabbi, that he brings wisdom to his Rebbe. How does he do that? Well, he constantly asks. He asks good questions. There was a time in they bring on Reb Lezer Telzer, Reb Lezer Gorn Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha. When he used to give a shir, could end up almost in a fight. What was going on? The debate and the argument. And one time he came to a place that said, and he said a shir, and nobody asked. In the middle of the shir, he closed the gemara and he says, I can't say a shir under set circumstances, and he left. But this Talmud, every day he would ask Rabbi Yonai these questions. Kol yuma hava makshle. B'shabbat deregila, derigla though, but on the Shabbos of the regal, the Shabbos of the Yantif, was a special shir where all kind of people would come. From all over. It was not just the regular Talmidim, but all kind of people would come from all over, because it was the Yantif, they'd come to hear the shir from Rabbi Yonai. Lay have a makshala. On the time of the regal, one might think now's a better time to show what we can ask the Rebbe. He never asked him. Never asked him. And Abiyan, I wondered why. It's not that he didn't have what to ask. And then he understood why. And he said, that is son derech arena b'yesh alakim. He will see the Yeshua alakim. He will see the salvation of Hashem. Because he used his head. He didn't ask him on that Shabbos. Rashi brings, because he was worried what would happen if the Rebbe couldn't answer. Then it would bring embarrassment to him in front of all of the people and the guests that came. That was a person that was thinking. And Rabbi Yonai said on that Talmud, he'll go a long way. You'll see the Yeshua's, the salvation of Hashem. We find all over that thinking, when the Gemara refers to thinking, it refers to it with the word cutting. For example, Pesek Hadin, Gezer Hadin, Chetech Hadin. These are all different lashanas, different words where we refer to cutting. We find also on someone who could think well, the Gemara used to call him a chorf. It's a terminology we still use. Sharp. You find in English also, you say he has a sharp mind. But the Gemara used to call him a harif, a chorf. What does that mean? What does it mean, a sharp mind? The answer is, the mind is a sword. Because the main task of the mind is to be mavdil, is to separate between yes and no, between right and wrong, between good and evil, between what is true and what is false. This is the main ability of the mind. Therefore the Gemara always refers to it as chayti chasadim, right? Cutting the mishpat, the judgment. Pesik esadim, gezer esadim, a harif, a choref, someone who has a sharp mind. What does it mean, sharp mind? It's like a knife that cuts perfectly. To be mavdil, states on the chachomim, and the wise, they have to be roi, to be mavdil, to distinguish. This is why the Gemara brings that we make havdolah in atachenin lodam das, in the broch and shmein esrei. Now, we must realize that we have to use our minds in this way, because if not, we're a ksil b'cheshech eilich. We are like a fool that walks in darkness. A fool is just the opposite. The chochem, the wise, they use their mind to be mavdil b'no l'cheshech, to divide between the light and the darkness. If we don't, then we're in darkness. And on that states, aksil b'cheshech eilich, the fool walks in darkness. What are all the time we have dilemmas, sfeikas, doubts? This is all darkness. We don't know which way to turn. Should we go to the right? Should we go to the left? Should we go up? Should we go down? What is right? What is wrong? What is true? What is false? This is the ksil. This is the fool. And unfortunately, many times we're fools. But the person was given a mind, and the mind can penetrate. It can be mavdil, it can divide between what is right and what is wrong. Indecision is a terrible thing. Many people come and they say, I can't make up my mind, I can't make up my mind. It's a terrible thing, because that's contrary to the seichel ha'odem, to the mind of the person. That's contrary to the person. He loses his great level, his great madrega. And this is why the Gemara tells us, Ein simcha ka'atoris ha'sveikas, the greatest joy that comes to a person is when he can make up his mind, when he's resolved the problem. And therefore, the child is created already using, prepared to use that mind. Choref, to cut, and to be mavdil. And this we have to do all of the time. You should know, we're very fortunate, Klal Yisrael, because most of our questions are already determined for us, because we have the Torah. I feel many times sorry for those who don't have Torah. They have such tremendous dilemmas. I'll give you an examples. People come and they ask questions. For example, person will say, look, I got two jobs in front of me. I don't know which one to take. This one has these milers. If they're both identical, it'll be no problem. But this one has these advantages, but these disadvantages, and the other has other advantages and other disadvantages. I don't know what to do. So I ask him, tell me more. Tell me more about the jobs and so forth. Or he has two deals and so forth. Comes out, look, with one job, he can be totally true, totally emes. But the other one, he's going to have to do a lot of shady things. I said, so what's the question now? It's resolved for you. Ashrecho, you're fortunate. There's no question anymore. What are you knocking yourself out for? Indecision destroys a person. The Torah's resolved it for you. Oy to those who don't have Torah. One, he says, or another example, one, look, I'm going to have to work on some days of Yontif, the other not. So I said, so what is the question? It's an easy question to answer. It's not a question anymore. Mishamayim, they resolve the question for you. Then you get people, I'm not so sure. Why are you not so sure? Because you don't want to resolve it. You don't want to face the resolution. That's why there are so many who are constantly cannot make up their mind. Not that they cannot make up their mind, they cannot make up their emotions. The mind is made up, it's clear. But I'm not happy with what my mind has told me. My mind has told me to give up something which I think is going to be a pot of gold for me at the end of the rainbow. So it's not you can't make up your mind. You're not allowing yourself to make up your mind. Or many times I get, guy comes with a similar question. Where should I buy? I have two houses to buy. I don't know which one. This one has all of these advantages, the other one doesn't. And this one has these other advantages and so forth, I don't know. So we talk a little. The one is way out, where he's gonna have to walk an hour to shul. He's far away from anything Yiddish. His kids, if they'll go to a day school, have to schlep 45 minutes by bus, or whatever it might be. And the other one is right near a shul, and right near a beis medrash, near a school. So I ask him, your question is resolved. Let the Torah worry about it. It's resolved. I'm not so sure. It's not that you're not so sure. Your mind is sure. But you don't want to accept what your mind has come to the conclusion. You're not allowing your mind to decide. Another example, unfortunately very common. Person comes and he has a couple opportunities. He can only accept one. Which one should he do? It's a deal or a job or whatever it might be. We talk a little. Then I find out that he's already given the first one an undertaking, a word that he'll do it. But now something much better has come along. It's much better. It's more money. He won't have to work so hard. And he'll have more time to learn. He's in a dilemma. I said, you already gave the first one your word. So what is the question? Because with the second one, I'll be able to be home more. I'll be a better father. I'll be a better husband. I'll have more time to learn. But you already gave your word to the first one. What is the question? The Gemara says, Mikrei Rosho, you give an undertaking to a person, how can you withdraw it? That's a Rosho. Your question is resolved. I don't know, he says. And unfortunately, in today's time, you can't imagine how much of this is going on. How much of this is going on? People want to destroy themselves. Eingachshon, they go back on their word, they take the other thing that is the where he'll be glicklich, that's his whole fortune, is it? You think you'll make something on it? Going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You really think so? And then one day he'll say, I made the wrong decision. You didn't make the wrong decision. I didn't know. You knew. You didn't want to accept it. And this is, unfortunately, I hear this all of the time. Fact is, they say in the world today is a crisis in ethics, in business ethics. A word is not a word. A contract is not a contract. Nothing. I remember once reading a book about the oil business of America, the early oil fields. And you know, they were rough people in those days. And this is what's going with non-Jews. And they were rough. And a certain fella, they wanted to take his oil rights away from him, the Balabatim, the owners. And he said, but your father gave me his word that I'll have these oil rights as long as I live. So what do you think the other non-Jew told him? This was the oilman. This is an old book. He says, my father gave his word. That's sacred. Then I can't do it. Used to be a word was sacred. The world says a man is as strong as his word. I have a cousin who told me a story about his late father. His late father was my mother's cousin, Devoto Lechaim. He says when he retired, he came to work for him because he wanted to keep busy. One day he gets an order, and he's checking off the order, and they see that everything was accounted for, but there were a few small things that the people forgot to put on the invoice. A few small things, insignificant. So my young cousin said, he says, look, doesn't pay to, I mean, this doesn't mean that much. We'll catch it on the next time. We'll pay for it on the next time. Then he tells me, he sees his father get up, all red in the face. He heads for the coat rack. He starts putting on his hat and coat. He says, Dad, where are you going? He says, I don't work for a thief. And it took him a long time to cool him down that he should come back. This is how it was in the old days. This is lost. There's another story. Irving Bunim, Olav HaSholom. This was one of the famous lay leaders in early American Torah Judaism. He was the right-hand man of the Baron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Lebroch, and the Bar Hatzolah, the saving Jews from Europe, in building up Lakewood Yeshiva. He was a wealthy merchant. I believe he was in the textile business. And one day, he makes a big order from a mill that were owned by non-Jews. And it was worth $50,000. He waits for the account, and the account doesn't come. He speaks to a secretary, he says, look, probably next month. Next month it doesn't come either. He tells the secretary, call them up and ask them if we owe them any money. He calls them up. He said, no, your record is good. You don't owe any money. It was $50,000 in those years. Today, $50,000 is almost 200,000 rand, about 175,000 rand. These were in those days. We're dealing with at least 1 million rand today, at least, probably a lot more. He trembled. He says, I verified it again and again. They sent me a 1 million rand order. They didn't charge me for it. What more should I do? He went and he asked the question. The answer that was given was a Rambam. The Rambam says that if you return money to a non-Jew that is his, and through this he sees the greatness of a Jew and the greatness of the Torah, this has sanctified the name of the Almighty. He called up the president of that mill and he said, this is Irving Bunim speaking. I want to come and see you about something. Can we make an appointment? And I would like your bookkeeper to be present. His son is writing this on him. He says, that day he dressed up in Big Day Shabbos V'Yom Tov. He put on his Shabbos clothes and his Yontif clothes. And his son asked him why. He says, because I'm going to fulfill the greatest mitzvah in the Torah, Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify the name of the Almighty. He comes to the man and he says, your bookkeeper. Yeah. He says, bookkeeper, bring my accounts out. Brings the accounts out. How much do I owe you? Not a thing. He produces a check for this $50,000, 1 million rand. And he says, here, this is yours. And here's the invoice. You sent me these goods and you never charged me for it. People used to have pride in these things. Today, unfortunately, we have fallen. But this is what is meant, the thinker. That if this world is overwhelming with constant problems, and most of these problems is because we do not know what to do. Do not despair, because we were all given atochonin lodom das, brilliant minds that can resolve these problems with the help of Torah. Except we have to use them. We have to think. We have to put our hands on our temples and put our head down, our heads down, to be in deep thought, to think. Not to do what we want to do, and not to do what is best for us to do in the short term, or what is easiest to do or most gratifying to do, but to do what the mind has told us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us. Now, this is man's task in this world. He's a pinkas. He's a book of accounts. Kol maaseh maasov niktovim b'sefer. Everything is written in the book, but it's written in him. And he's the machashev, he's the thinker, given the ability to resolve all dilemmas in order to do that what's right. I wanted to go on to a third principle also, but I see that the time has gotten too late. As I mentioned, this is from one section of that shir, just a few points. But we can learn a lot from these points. What man is, how he was created in order to deal with life that he was given. We should learn from this drosha of the Baal Maralbi Prague that he gave 411 years ago on Shabbos Shuvah, and it should help us direct our lives as we come to the new year and to the Yom HaKippurim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his compassion should grant us light, and he should grant us rachamim and a gemar chasimatova. He should seal us all in the book of life. We should see prosperity and shalom here in South Africa, in Israel, and all over. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.